Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to the Roofer Show podcast, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, the Roofer Coach, and I have been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. Check out our website at theroofershow.com, where you can get more information about our coaching programs, our mastermind groups, and our bookkeeping and fractional CFO services. While you're there, download a free copy of our one-page business plan. Get you started on the process of planning. Get your business organized and get a strategic plan for where you want to go and where you want to take your business. We've got a great show for you today. We've got Brad Akers from Brad Grows Businesses, and he has got a great program. You've heard John rave about it. He's been involved with Brad for quite a while. And what he does, he's got a great program that is along the line of what we talk about on the show, which is for every job you do in a neighborhood, your goal is to get one additional job. And Brad really digs into this same concept and shows you exactly how to go about it. And it's a step-by-step process, and it's a great program. You're going to get a lot out of this. But before we get into our interview with Brad, I just want to thank our sponsor, and that is SMA Support. These guys are great. They will set up a virtual assistant in your office, and they can provide all the services that so many contractors need. Get you set up with an inside sales. They can prep estimates, follow up with customers, help manage your schedule, and all of this without the headache of having to hire and train people. Or they can fill that operations gap where they will help you schedule jobs, get the permits together, all of those things that you need to do to have the job ready to go. But what I really like about them is they provide some great customer service, and they can provide that five-star experience for your customers, because this is where so many contractors fall down. They just don't have the time for the follow-up and providing that good customer service. And they'll get you those five-star reviews to prove it. You want to check these guys out. Go to smasupport.us and see how they can help transform your business into a lean profit machine. All right, well, let's get into it with Brad. Brad, what is going on? How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. So, hey, John has been talking about you, raving about you, I would say, in your program on the show, and he loves it and getting so much out of it. So I'm somewhat familiar with it, but he unfortunately runs a roofing business and couldn't be here today. So I'm going to dig down and find out about this program because I really like it, and I think our audience is going to get a lot out of it. So rather than spoil it, I'll let you do the talk and tell us a little about your background. Give us a quick elevator pitch on what your story is and how you got there.
Sure. Background, very abbreviated version, worked in distribution for SRS for 3 years, sold about $6 million a year in material. So not a huge amount, but not a small amount either. I was some young baby face kid. The way that I was able to sell and get some larger accounts was I learned business and marketing and all the things that I felt as though a lot of the clients maybe had a little bit of a hole in. So I would come in and walk them through. I mean, I was talking about financing insurance claims literally 8 years ago. I walked them through marketing. There was some key accounts that I worked to get by saying, let me run some Facebook ads for you. Anything that comes in that you close, buy from me and test me out using that. So I just tried to create a different approach I got the entrepreneurial bug as I was doing all of that and realizing, like, man, I love business. I love marketing. All this, all these things are so exciting to me. I think about them all the time. So I ended up going to join my buddy as a 50% owner in his roofing company. And at the same time, I started a marketing company that was meant to just be a little side hustle. The roofing company, we grew, we hit 7 figures, and he'd been stuck below it for a long time. So that's really exciting. But the marketing company blew up way faster than I expected, anticipated, planned. And after about 12 months or so, I realized, like, I'm a baby business owner. I don't know what I'm doing, but I do know that I'm having a lot of trouble doing both. So I felt as though I needed to choose one, and I went all in on my marketing company. In that, as I was running my marketing company, only roofers, that's always been who I've been around, who I've been with. I merged with another company. I acquired another agency. I sold my agency about a year ago now, and then started a consulting company. And that consulting company is marketing and process consulting. I'm not claiming to do everything within a roofing business. There's a lot of people that are more equipped on the sales side, on the production side, even on some of the operational stuff. But what I know, and I know well, is marketing psychology and how and why things work. So now what we do is we work with roofing businesses on developing and implementing the strategies and skills that will actually allow them to scale and build a real foundation that they can grow from.
Well, let's talk about that foundation. I'd like to do it in two steps. One is, what's the problem that you see from the contractors, and how do we really get that foundation? Because I think everything starts with, you know, having a baseline, knowing where we are and understanding our numbers. And then we can go from there and measure our success. And then we can talk about how to solve this problem. And then I want to hear about your courses, because, you know, John, as I say, just loves the program. It works. And this is the same thing we talk about on the show all the time, is converting, is improving our close rate. It's really what the bottom line is, getting better leads, getting more referrals, this type of thing. But let's start off. You tell me, what's the problem that you see out there with the contractors? Because I think we deal with the same size contractors, really, you know, let's say $1 million to $6 million range. Yeah. So the smaller contractor. And we focus on those because those are the guys that really need the help, can really use this program. So I'll let you go ahead and talk. Let's talk some numbers. Let's get into it. We're big numbers guys, so we got to start there. So I'll let you roll with it.
100%. So the numbers always tell the best story. We have to know how to look at the numbers, how to put the numbers together in a way where a story actually tells a story and isn't just a jumbled mess. People often are optimizing their efforts, their business, their results on the wrong thing. And leads is such a huge buzzword, and you do need leads, but there's different types of leads. There's people that know you, people who don't know you. There's people that are maybe slightly interested in your service, but don't really care about who does it. There's people that only want to use you. And very few of the strategies that are being pushed and are popular and have their place, Google ads, SEO, Facebook ads, very few of those things actually help you optimize for those types of leads that I talked about. So to flip it, rather than saying, I want to optimize for leads, I want to optimize for quality conversations. It keeps it a little more simple. And frankly, in a funny way, it's almost more measurable, because a quality conversation, what type of lead would create a quality conversation predictably, not just by chance? And we'll get into that further, but my efforts are to help people build internal strategies that they can implement and empower them to go do the things that they need to do to grow their business, to generate more quality conversations, and to allow those quality conversations to give them energy and to motivate them to do the same actions over and over again. Because it's not a matter of willpower or even discipline in a lot of cases. I think it's just a matter of the inputs just don't match what is going to allow them to be excited and motivated to do the same thing the next time.
The problem that I see is contractors want more leads. Just get me more leads, you know, and I'm going to throw money at this to get more leads. And that's what it's all about. They don't think about close rate. They don't think about quality of leads. They don't think about pre-qualifying their leads.
They create their own sales problem.
Mm-hmm. And when we have an opportunity to talk about our sales process, getting the right lead, but they're so busy running around. I've got so much stuff going on. I've got so many leads. Now I've got so many leads, but they're not closing. And the other part about it that I know that you really get into, which I love, is the cost of a lead, of a true lead, not a crap lead, a true lead, an issued lead, we call it. And then being able to pre-qualify this and going out there and improving our close rate, because then we don't need so many leads. It's not a numbers problem. It's a close rate, and most contractors don't understand what the close rate is. But let's start with the cost of a lead. Cost of a lead and the cost of customer acquisition. What does it cost to get a true customer? And this is, well, you tell me, but I know that our listeners are going to be amazed at the true cost.
Yeah, amazed in a not great way. Yeah. I can share for anyone who's watching, I can share my screen just so at least you and I can reference, and we'll narrate nicely what's going on.
Let's do that.
But I have this Google sheet that's a little calculator for you, and it goes over common ad spend numbers, common marketing management fee numbers, and then common close rates. There's variables. We would call those levers. And then there's outputs, and the outputs we need to make look good. Management fee, for what's the average marketing package? It's SEO and Google Ads. That's what most people push. And while there are some premium options out there, and I think the premium options, a lot of them deserve the numbers that they're demanding, they're not necessarily set up for the sub-million or even the $1 to $5 million roofing company. So what you'll find if you're just looking at the market as a whole, the average management fee for an SEO and pay-per-click package is going to be about $2,500.
Let me jump back for a sec. Sorry. And I'll probably interrupt you. But I'm really curious. I've got a lot of questions and that we run into all the time. Let's start off with, what should we be have a marketing spend? You know, the average in the industry, what we should be spending. And this not only includes our management fee and our Google Ads and so forth, but really when it comes down to, I consider, you know, the marketing, the truck wraps, you know, our mailings, there's so much more involved that goes into it. And this is how we get this customer acquisition cost up so high, is including all that. But the numbers that we usually use is, you know, really roughly 5% of sales for a marketing spend as a marketing program. What do you think about that?
You know, if we had to put it in a box, if we had to just give an answer, I would say about 5% is the answer. I think it varies so much. It's the skill of the marketer that you hire. It's the strategies that you use. It's your market. Those all dictate what your marketing spend is going to be. What the most important number is that no one seems to measure is cost per acquisition, not even cost per appointment. For instance, I run some Facebook ads sometimes. Roofers love to no-show booked calls. Sorry, guys. I love you, but it's a problem.
Amazing, isn't it?
But because of the way I have things set up, my cost per booked call can be upwards of $400 of the live calls. My cost per actual call is like maybe $250, but then it can be up to $500. But then we have a process that we're bringing people through and we're closing at a higher rate. So our cost per acquisition is within a healthy range for our higher ticket stuff, maybe in the 15, maybe in the 1,000 to 1,500 range, depending on the month and how well I'm firing. The cost per appointment matters, but only as much as the closing rate. With that said, you have to think about who you're going to close at a high rate. If you generate really bad appointments and your closing rate's terrible, and you think you need to develop better sales skills, which you always can improve on, you may be solving for the wrong problem. And I think when developing a marketing budget and when prioritizing client acquisition things, I think people solve for the wrong problem more often than not. So I know I'm not giving you a straight answer, but I would say until you know with clarity what problem you need to solve for, your marketing budget should be minimal. When you're ready to invest because you are empowered with the actual information you need, the right things to track, the right ways to approach it, the right ways to maximize what you're getting and decrease your cost per acquisition, then we can talk about a marketing budget. 5% I think is fair, but you might not need it. Best case scenario, you can begin to job cost your marketing and then you don't really have to worry too much about it and you can just throw it on top. And that's kind of what we want to help get towards is like, okay, dollar amount per sit down, dollar amount per closed deal.
That is the numbers that matter because we're talking about throwing money, getting leads. Well, there's a big difference between a qualified lead and just a cold lead, which comes down to getting down and pre-qualifying these leads because we've got what we call inquiries. That's all they are when somebody calls. Well, the first part of this, the first sale is to turn that into an appointment. That's the first close, the first sale. And that is only if they are in our ideal prospect range. And that's a good segue to take a break real quick so we can thank our sponsor, and that is Ruby. They will help you pre-qualify these prospects, and that's what they do. They answer your phone. They answer your phone with a professional, friendly voice, and they will ask the right questions. We give them a script that most of our contractors use, and it pre-qualifies those prospects to make sure that they're in your ideal customer range because you don't want to spend the time with unqualified prospects. They really tee up the sale. They leave a great first impression. You want to check them out. Go to get.ruby.com/theroofercoach where you can get up to $150 off your first month's service. So now we weed those out. And so we may have 10 cold leads and maybe only 4 or 5 of those turn into qualified leads that we want to turn into appointments. Makes sense?
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's what we see. And then if we can improve our close rate, we don't need so many leads. And we can do that by having more qualified speaking to more qualified prospects. I look at it as that if you go out to a job and you don't have a sit down, you don't have a proposal to make, you screwed up in your pre-qualification process. And you should only be talking with true potential buyers that can afford your services, that can, you know, are in the right area, whatever. And you have to define that ideal customer before we even get started. So sorry, getting off track.
No,
my usual tangents.
We're on the same page here. And that's the thing is there's so many ways to think about it. It's really a control panel. Everyone has a control panel in their business. They just might not know what all the knobs do. we need to understand what happens, because it's a unique control panel where one lever or one knob is dialed up, that might dial another one down. If you don't see and understand the cause and effect of the different levers that you're pulling, the different things that we're doing on the control panel, then you're always going to be lost. What you said is exactly right. Of if you have more qualified appointments and you close at a higher rate, then you're not going to have to spend as much on leads, or you're not going to, but also, where does the priority become? Do we have a sales problem? Do we have a lead problem? Do we have a qualified appointment problem? How do you know? And that's, I think, what we need to maybe start from a blank slate from, rather than trying to figure it out, because there are truths that we can know. We can know that there's certain types of leads or appointments that are consistently easier and better and close at a higher rate. Once we start with that and then build next, okay, is there opportunity for me to generate more of these? Yes. Okay. We've done all that we need to do there. Now, sales. Where do we need to work on our sales? What are we doing wrong? What ratios are off? Proposal to close deal? Are we sending proposals and people are ghosting us? Like, what are the things that are happening and what can we work on now? And now that we have clarity on, okay, we have a baseline, we know that we are generating quality conversations, quality leads, quality appointments. Now that we know that, is this still off? If it's not, then you probably need to focus on something else. But what I see is people are like, okay, we're knocking doors. Like, we need to hire a sales trainer. It's like, okay, yes, if you want to continue doing exactly what you're doing, it would be valuable to push that lever up and get better at sales. But is that actually the bottleneck? Is that the real constraint in the business, or is that the constraint in the way that you've decided things need to be? Because there's no rules unless you make them. So if you're making rules for this is how we're going to get business. And by the way, if anyone hangs out on social media, you're getting bombarded with things that are becoming rules in your head that are completely biased, are completely nonsensical, are completely opinion. Yet they're presented in such a way where you're taking them as truths. And then you're building up your entire view of how your business is supposed to run based on that rather than truths. And we can all find our truths within how we do business. And it is going to vary, but there's also some more common ones that have a lot less vary. And if we can begin building our business, our foundation, like I mentioned, based off of these truths, then our business is going to become more stable, more predictable, and we're going to always have the maximum ability, not the perfect ability, but the maximum ability to know what problem we actually need to be solving for. And I think that that's such a scary place to be, is when your business is out of sorts and you don't know why. But also, you can literally just create a blank slate whenever you want, because there's no rules.
Let's talk numbers. We've got to have that baseline. I think it's important to understand how much a lead actually costs, a true lead, and then we get into customer acquisition. How do we figure that out? We have to know that number, and then it starts to make some sense. Also, if we can improve our close rate, how much money we're going to save on marketing. And that's really what the focus should be, and I know that's the focus of your program.
Absolutely.
Let's talk numbers. What is a Google lead, for instance?
So in the Excel sheet that you and I are looking at, and I'll describe it for everyone else, we have the management fee that I mentioned a second ago, SEO and Google Ads. SEO takes a long time to start working, so Google Ads are carrying the torch for a long time. They're bridging the gap, trying to help you generate an ROI. The ad spend, for whatever reason, and we can change this up and all the stuff will change. But for whatever reason, the ad spend that people start within the 1 to 6 million range so often is $100 a day, $3,000 a month. So that puts your total marketing spend outside of, and we can, it gets hairier if we look at truck wraps and some of those other things, but we have to look at things in silos sometimes to understand them. We'll be about 5,500. I ran a marketing company, and at times we had hundreds of clients that were roofers. The average cost per conversion in the country is $150. The conversion is measured by someone filling out a form on your website or a phone call over a minute long. If anyone's run Google Ads, they know that not every form fill or call turns into a deal. They're inquiries, just like what Dave said. An inquiry is $150. The average, and maybe this is even generous, inquiry to lead from these types of this channel is usually about 60%.
We got 10 inquiries. And in your example, we've got 6 qualified leads out of that.
Yeah. And qualified is still probably a stretch, but 6 right. people that have agreed to let you inspect their roof for free.
That are actually looking for roofs and not swimming pools or decks or,
yeah,
or all of the crap that we get off of exactly. those type of spends.
Exactly. Okay? So to continue down the line, that's $250 in ad spend. That's important. Ad spend. We had a $2,500 management fee, $3,000 ad spend. In ad spend only, and this is something you need to watch out for because marketers love to talk about the cost per lead in ad spend and usually don't even think to talk about your cost per lead, including their management fee, which mm-hmm. is very relevant to you. Less relevant to them unless they understand the impact it makes on you staying around. So $250 cost per appointment in ad spend. $3,000 ad spend divided by 250 is 12. So 12 appointments. $5,500 for 12 appointments. Underwhelming, I would say, especially when you look at your cost per appointment total. Your cost per appointment total, $5,500 divided by 12, is $458. A lot. Hefty amount to spend for an appointment.
Let's say a qualified lead that we're going to go out and we're going to spend our time going out and seeing is costing us on average $460, basically. Is that what you're
saying? Roughly. Mm-hmm. Though, levers, right? What if we spent $6,000 in ad spend? $8,500 total, but $6,000 divided by 250 is 24 appointments now. $8,500 divided by 24 is 355. So this is why there is a case for just spending more in ad spend. I don't think it's actually the right solution because I think that the quality of appointment does not really equal what most roofing businesses are most set up to handle. But that's something that people don't realize is like, look, I know it sucks, but the more money you put up and give Google, the cheaper your appointments are going to be, as long as someone's doing their job. And another thing to focus on or remember is these are like optimized numbers. It takes like a month to a month and a half before things really get here anyways. Everyone's figuring everyone out. So 12 appointments, 458. This is the number, the average number based off of the average marketing package. This much ad spend, this much management fee.
I think contractors would be surprised at that cost, at how high a true lead actually costs. And when you're screwing around, you know, guys are not returning phone calls, you know, you got sales guys that just, so on and so forth. Oh, whoops, dropped that one between the seats, never got out there, never responded. This is why you're getting, you know, your prospects are so frustrated because they call 3 or 4 guys and one shows up. It's crazy.
And that's the thing is like marketers oftentimes can get here to the $460 and they can understand the variable of the cost per appointment and how ad spend relates to the cost per appointment. And they can even think of the closing rate. So they'll be like, call the leads, you're dropping the ball, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, there's other numbers that are really, really important because they get here $458 per appointment. Well, that's not great. But if you close those 12 appointments at 25%, you're still getting three jobs. Your average job's about $12,000. You're doing $36,000 in revenue. Like $5,500 for $36,000, like that sounds like a nice trade. Gets a lot hairier than that when you're actually running a roofing business. 25% is not an exciting closing rate, but it's a realistic closing rate.
So these are cold leads. One in four
deals
we're going to close. Well, first off, we've got to understand what that means. And the majority of contractors throw out a number, but they really have no idea what their close rate is.
We were talking a second ago. I can't go into the whole story, but someone told me they're closing between 30 to 40%. I dissected it. They're closing at 13%.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's common. I can do that in most of my conversations with people who aren't tracking this stuff well. Your gut feeling as to what you're closing is usually pretty off. 25% is an average closing rate on these types of leads. And we have to remember what types of leads these are. These are people who have a problem. My roof is leaking. They search roofer near me or roofing contractor, Fresno, California. They click on the first thing they see. They maybe look through your website. But odds are the average, all the analytics, I've seen them. They're spending like a minute on your website before they either call you or fill your form out. So these are relatively cold leads. And also, there's nothing to stop them. And it's common for them to go to the next person on the list as well to call because they've been taught they should get more appointment. They should get multiple bids. Now, generations, millennials, do not get multiple bids as much as boomers. Like there's different generational habits, but we still need to think through all this. So you're entering into a competitive situation usually. If you're closing at 25%, that's respectable. 12 appointments, 25%, that's three jobs. Something worth noting is a lot of the time when someone goes to hire a marketing agency, they are trying to generate more leads so that they can keep their sales team happy. It's not unheard of that a one-man show is going to go hire a marketing company. But even then, usually they're hiring a marketing company so that they can begin bringing on a new team. So we need to look at commissions. 8% commission is of gross, let's call that, there's a billion commission structures, but I think that's a relatively common one. Say the average roof is 12,000 in the country. It might be going up with some of the material increases and all, but say that. So that's $960 in commission. These are numbers that you need to be really clear on because they go into your cost per acquisition. Because down here, 5,500, three jobs. 5,500, your total spend divided by three jobs equals $1,833.33. So in marketing dollars, you spent $1,833.33. But now you have a salesman who ran that job. So you go $1,833 plus $960, which is 8% of 12,000. And it's all variable. So like if this number was 15,000, then it still doesn't work very well for you. It's not as bad, but we're still in a situation where the cost to acquire a customer is not super helpful. 1,833 plus 960 is about $2,933.
So what you're saying is to acquire a true customer, That cost is how much?
In this scenario, to acquire a true customer, in marketing dollars, it's $1,833. If you add in the commission, which you should, because that is part of your cost per acquisition as a business, and if you just look at gross numbers, it doesn't help you very much. We're talking $960 plus $1,833.33, which is $2,793.33.
To acquire a new customer.
To acquire a new customer.
And I think our audience would be amazed at the true, and that is the true cost.
Yeah.
No idea that it was that expensive. We've kind of laid out what the problem is, that it costs a lot of money to acquire a customer. So let's move into how we're going to solve this, how we're going to improve this. And that's what your program is all about, because if we can improve our close rate, obviously that cost of customer acquisition goes down.
The closing rate matters. But I want to go through worst case scenario where your closing rate doesn't improve, because I think that exposes and illuminates the solution and versus the problem a little more. I'm moving you now to a concept of compounding. So say we build a process within our business to where every time we have an appointment or build, we are working that area. The appointment, we're working it to try to get in front of new people. The build, we're working it to try to get in front of new people. After the job's done, we have a very organized and formal way of trying to generate referrals that is a little bit more predictable than the just throwing out a random number if they close. So say you're doing all these things, putting all this effort in, we're going to assume that we can generate 3 additional appointments per job that you're doing. Not jobs, appointments. And say we're still closing at 25%. You're not going to close those appointments at 25%, but to show you what happens. On that, we're going to spend a little bit on direct mail and door hangers and things like that. And we're going to spend a little bit on social media. So that's $290 added to your marketing expense per job. But we got 3 appointments. You started with 12 appointments. You got 3 jobs. 3 jobs, but now you got 3 additional appointments for it. So total, that campaign, those efforts generated 21 appointments. So your cost per appointment, rather than being 458, is 261, about half. Your cost to acquire a customer in this scenario, because we did add in some expenses, went from $1,833 in marketing dollars to $1,047 in marketing dollars. And this is not the best case scenario. I'll show you what it can look like when it's even better, because we're looking at your overall cost per acquisition. You went from 3 jobs from the Google ads to 5.25 jobs from everything. We're still talking about $12,000 as the average job. So we will go from $36,000 to $63,000. And we didn't cover this before, but if your 35% margin is the average, so $4,200 on a $12,000 job is your average gross profit. And then you take away the $2,793, then that's about $1,406. And it's not even really net, but let's just call it profit, take home, company take home before it's dispersed and disappears into the ether of the bookkeeping of a roofing company. So $1,400, we got 3 jobs in the last scenario. I know that this is kind of a lot. First scenario, before we added the compounding strategies, everything generated 3 jobs. The cost to acquire that job, including commission paid on an average of a $12,000 job, was $2,793 each. The gross profit of a $12,000 job is $4,200. So the profit after commission and cost per acquisition is $1,400 for the company. If you did three jobs, 1,400 times three is 4,220. Problem is, you have to reinvest that same amount the next month. This isn't just an individual campaign. This is something that has to keep going. It also takes a long time to collect the cash. So you made $4,220 when you invested $5,500. And because you're reinvesting right back into it, you got a 0.76 ROI, which is a negative ROI. No bueno. In this new scenario, we generated three additional appointments per job, 21 jobs or 21 appointments total, from three jobs to five jobs, 36,000 in revenue to 63,000 in revenue. Your profit after commission, cost to acquire a customer, and some of those other expenses I mentioned, the direct mail, door hangers, ads, was $1,900. So more jobs, more profit. 5.25 times 1900 is 9,987. You reinvest 5,500 the next month and you got a 1.8 ROI. So you doubled the amount of money you're making and you're profitable in 1 month. You made money. So this is a breakdown of an example of just like, if you just did a few different things and you just added a few different strategies and you just prioritize a few different things. And this is assuming that your closing rate remains 25%, which we all know referrals close at a higher rate. We also know that usually if you get flagged down by a neighbor and you're already doing the project down the street, that closes at a higher rate as well. So this is still not even the real scenario. This is just a scenario with the bad closing. Now, if you add in the current jobs that you're already doing, say you're doing eight jobs as a baseline, as a company a month, before all your marketing and all of that, you just from your network and all that, and then you get those three appointments of those eight jobs, you get the three appointments per the jobs from the ads. So that turns into 77 appointments total, because you got 12 appointments plus nine appointments from the jobs from the ads plus 24 appointments from the jobs from your baseline. So now we got 77 appointments. Your cost per appointment is $71 as a company. Remember what it was when we started? $458 to $71. Cost to acquire a customer goes from $1,047 to $285. You go from 36,000 in revenue from the ads plus 8 times 12. So maybe you're at like $150,000 a month in revenue, but then you move that to $231,000 in revenue. Your profit is $51,000. You reinvest the same $5,500. That's a pretty solid company. I hope that I didn't lose you guys. I know that's a crazy, a lot of moving parts, a lot of math, but I want you to trust me on one thing. If you understand your levers and if you understand how this stuff all plays into each other, if you also understand the overall efforts of the company and how that relates to any marketing vendors that you partner with, if you choose to partner with them, which you don't have to, then you will begin to understand how you can reduce your company's cost per acquisition. Outsourcing, one of the most important things in your business, its ability to generate leads and appointments and jobs, is a bad idea. It doesn't mean that you don't outsource avenues of getting more appointments, but you need to understand those avenues and you need to work really, really, you need to integrate what you're doing with what they're doing in a way that allows you to maximize everything, because there's no winners unless you're winning. They're not going to be a winner and you're not going to be a winner, or everyone can be a winner if you begin to win and you prioritize the right things. And that's how you generate great relationships with marketing vendors. That's how you cannot need a marketing vendor if you choose to not need one. That's how you can maximize what they're doing. There's Russell Brunson and a million other people. These are marketing world people. I'd imagine Dave knows about them because he's kind of has his feet in both ends of the world. But
oh yeah,
they always talk about Whoever can spend the most to acquire a customer wins. But people misunderstand that completely. People think that whoever spends the most, I better work on my closing rate and I need to charge more. No, those things are, you could, but what if you get referrals, things that compound, things that are exponential? What if you can go talk to a neighbor? When you spent all this money to acquire this one customer, $1,800, but then you got another job right down the street and you got a referral. So now your $1,800 is divided by three total jobs, $1,800. And maybe you add in a little bit. Say we added in $250 per. So your cost per acquisition gets to 700 or something. That's scalable as heck.
Yeah. And these numbers, I mean, are incredible. This is where you want to put your focus. We talk about for every job that we do in a neighborhood, our goal is to get one additional job. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you come up with your three referrals, your three additional appointments that come out of that one job, because that's what we'd be looking at, say at a 25% close would be that one additional job. So you just run the numbers. I mean, if we can get doubling the number of jobs that we're getting for that same amount, basically the same amount of money. So that is incredible. So we got the numbers down, so forth. How do we do this? How do we go generate those three additional appointments? And this is, you know, just to talk about, this is what we call process. You do it the same way every time. And we get that process down because it has to be, you have to be consistent about doing this. And this is so much of the problem that we see working with contractors is that, you know, it's kind of half-assed here and there. We've got to do it the same way every time. It's not complicated. It's just being consistent and keep it really simple. So how do we get these three additional appointments?
Let me share my screen again for you and I or anyone who's watching in this way. In this picture, and I'll describe it, I'll paint the scene, except I'm going to act like the pictures are better than they are. It's an aerial view of a neighborhood, and then it's one house circled, and you found damage on that house. I don't care if it's an old shingle and retail or insurance. These things work for both. In fact, I just had a conversation with a client who, as he was describing to me a scenario, he very clearly lost two jobs because he just got so focused on insurance and he didn't realize they were asking for a retail job. And he just was like, it doesn't look like we can file a claim. And they're like, well, what if I just wanted to pay cash? He's like, and he just like kind of wrote him off. But you go get called out. You inspect a roof. You find damage. It appears as though there's a decent shot that they're going to use you. What you can say confidently is they know you, they like you, they trust you. Now that we know that, where would we say the most opportunity is? Remember, this is an aerial view of a neighborhood. It's the neighbors. We already have gotten here, all these houses. That's where the opportunity is. And it's not just because of proximity, while that matters. It's because we know so much about these people. We know that they can afford the same type of house, which means their financial situation likely is in the same ballpark. Their access to credit is probably somewhat similar if it's a financing thing. They're probably similar ages. They probably know each other. They probably didn't dodge the storm that damaged the first roof you looked at. If it's retail, their roof was probably about the same age. So we can confidently say a lot of things. Is it going to be 100% accurate? No, but marketing never is. And if you can get a 75 to 80% accuracy compared to advertising to 1,000 people, hoping that one person reaches out, you're in good shape. And we can now confidently prioritize time and potentially a little bit of money to advertising to these people. And that's something that we need to really, really grasp the concept of. And like, it needs to be dialed in. Because also we can create branding-esque, not direct lead gen that generates cold leads, but branding type of marketing, which generates warm leads and people who know you and want to do business with you. We can now begin creating a different dialogue from a marketing perspective with them. I like to give this example. If there was a town with a population of 300,000 people, and then one roofing company decided, we're going to go all out. We just got bought by private equity. We're going to spend $1 million on branding. And they just blasted the whole city. They would be able to spend an average of about $3 per person. There's about 25 homes right here. How much do you think we can comfortably spend per person with a branding-esque type of approach? $4, $5, $10, $15? We're generating a different type of dialogue. We're competing with the big dogs on a micro basis. And we're able to have our marketing set up in a way to where we don't have to push. We don't have to work hard. We can give them as much of the information and demonstrate to them the way we do business in a variety of ways so that they can make the decision themselves, which is what they want to do, to reach out to you, to wave you over. And then eventually, if once the job's done, to get the referral. And that brings me to the next thing. We just talked about Google Ads. This lovely couple was searching for a roofer on Google. These people you just did a roof for. Where's the opportunity? It's the person that we just did the roof for. Why? Because they know, like, and trust you. They also have friends on Facebook that probably know, like, and trust them. They are a peer rather than a seller on Nextdoor and apps like that. They maybe went to high school in the area and have a network of friends and maybe even friends' parents from then. Their little amazing child goes to a school with a bunch of great kids and a bunch of parents that they've become friends with. And there's all these people in their network. Now, rather than expecting them to just off the top of their head be like, you know, I have a note on my phone. And every time someone talks about how they need a new roof, or if I just notice, I write it down just for you, Mr. Roofer. That's never going to happen. But we can get them to talk about you. We can generate inbound referrals the same way we're advertising to them. Branding referrals. Okay, Susie, right here, let's say this is Susie. I know Susie. Susie just talked about this roofer, Dave's Roofing, and she said she had a great experience with them. She posted a picture of her roof. It looks nice, I think. It's a roof. I don't know. But Susie liked them. Susie liked them enough to post about them and tag their business page. I think this would probably be a good person for me to reach out to because, you know, I was noticing my roof needed help too. And this kind of just drove me to finally make the decision. So we can create as many opportunities like that to where people who know, like, and trust them, who may have a problem that they don't even know, that Susie doesn't know their friend has a problem, but the person knows they have a problem. So we want to cast a bigger net than just who they know off the top of their head needs a new roof and create inbound referrals that way. So that's one of the multiple ways to create compounding. And this slide is my favorite. Building a process, like you said. Appointment, 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 appointment on the left, and you close one deal and it ends. On the right, it's a web of appointments to jobs to appointments to jobs to appointments to jobs that doesn't stop. The snowball effect. one domino hitting a million dominoes, however you want to look at it. But compound interest is what even Einstein talks about it. The eighth wonder of the world, he who understands it benefits from it. He who doesn't is a slave to it, or something along those lines. Don't quote me on it. But
I'm with you, though.
It's so important to find compounding engines within your business. And if you can, and if you create the maximum amount of compounding engines within your business, then you will be able to grow exponentially.
A couple of things here. First off, we've got to provide a great experience, customer experience, because it all starts with that. If we're not referable, the whole program doesn't work. So let's 100%. Say we're getting this, giving this great five-star experience, we're getting reviews, five-star reviews. How can we encourage these people to post on Facebook, to post on Nextdoor? What should we be talking about? Because first off, you know, most contractors don't even ask for reviews, let alone ask for referrals or push this referral campaign.
The answer is a process. Create an intentional moment within your process where you get them to sign up to become a referral partner, and create actions that they need to require, that they need to finish, sorry, that allow them to unlock the amazing rewards that you have for your referral partners. And you have to sell it. Like, you, they're not just going to give you referrals. Even if they're the type of person who really wants to, they might not think about it often. You need to catch them in that tiny window where you're hyper relevant to them and they're happy. And the way to do that is to create a process. An example, we can role play real quick. I just finished your roof. You enjoyed it. It was a good process. I wasn't so distracted by running around to a million crazy leads that hated me. And because of that, I was able to provide you a very good experience where I was present when I talked to you. And it was, you were like, man, I feel like I was really important to Brad's Roofing.
Right.
Said, all right, we just covered the inspections. I showed you pictures. Isn't that so cool how we just did, like, you see this flashing? Only we do this. Like, there's not many people do it. Look at this. Look at what we did where your chimney. It looks good. I'm sorry I'm nerding out. This stuff just gets me excited. And we did put on a great roof for you. And like, I'm going to be proud of it. I know that you're probably not used to being proud of your roof, but you should be. So I do have a question. We always have a questionnaire that we ask our clients as we're wrapping up. And this is not saying you need to do it. I just am asking in theory, based on your experience, would you refer us to a friend if they needed to get their roof replaced?
Of course.
Okay. Thank you.
I would. Yes.
I really appreciate that. That means a lot. We survive on referrals. It's just so important to us to do business with people that we connect with, and you were top of the list, and I'm sure people who know you would also be similar. We actually have a referral program that I'd love to go over some details with you. Would you be interested in participating? We actually give $25 for every appointment that you send us, that we go talk to, and then we give $250 if they end up closing. So free money. Would you like some details on that?
Sure. Why not?
Okay, cool. So in order to participate, we just need you to post about your experience with us on your Facebook profile. I can help you write the post. We'll take the picture. You don't even have to be in it. We can just have the roof. Can you go out and pull your phone out right now, though, and put something together? Because I want to make sure you get the right business page. Believe it or not, there's a lot of Brad's Roofing, and I don't want you to tag the wrong. And we'll let the office know that we need to start tracking your referrals. Nice thing is, a lot of times people come from that post that you make, and you'll get credit for them. I know you probably don't just like know a bunch of people who need a new roof off the top of your head. So that's an example. I have a much more dialed in, organized, less abbreviated, more commitment-based version for private clients. But it would just take too long to go over. I'm not even trying to hold it. But that's an example of how you can actually begin getting people to commit and sign up for your referral program and commit to doing the actions that are needed for inbound referrals to come. Because it's low likelihood that they are going to, on the spot, know someone that needs a new roof, unless it's a neighbor. You don't want to pay them for their neighbors unless you couldn't get a hold of them and then they helped you. You want to do the work to get them on your own. You don't need a referral because you can just point that you're doing the roof and they already said. But their network outside of that little radius that you've already been working, that's a pretty untouched market for you. And it would be really great to go get in front of them. So we need to create a process to get them to do the activity. And we have to build up the, you told me that you would refer us. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I must have misunderstood. Like, so what did we do wrong? And they're like, no, you didn't do anything wrong. I just don't use Facebook very much. Oh, total. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought I misunderstood. Do you have Nextdoor? Yeah, I check it sometimes. I never post on it. If you just post one time, that would be enough. Like, that way, all their friends on Facebook don't have to see it. So, like, you can uncover the objections as to why they wouldn't do an activity that would generate the referrals. Those are great. We all probably have read, like, Never Split the Difference or something. Like, you can get a lot more information out of a no than a sure. Yeah, I'll do this later. Then why did they not do it? Who knows?
Well, you said a lot of great things there. Let's take a look at some of these. One is people are just not going to, you know, we sit back and go, well, if they like us, they're going to refer us. It just doesn't happen. You're not top of mind. And people would love to refer you, but they just don't think about it. You need to take positive action. And this is our process that we're talking about. First off, you just need to bring it up. You know, you need to talk about it. If you just did that, it's the same thing with reviews. If you don't ask for reviews, you are not going to get them. They'd love to do it. They just don't think about it. The other thing that you said is that we've got to take action and we've got to do it at the right point, right time. Hey, are you happy? I love the little survey. Gives you a great process to follow. Simple. Let me ask you about this survey. That makes sense. You're not shoving this down their throat. It's a natural progression. It's a lot better than saying, hey, can you give me three names of people that may need a roof? Well, that doesn't do anything because they can't think of people that you need a roof offhand. That's not going to work either. And by doing this, the posting, encouraging them to do that, you're going to get action. And that's the only way you're going to get it. So I love the way this program works. As you said, you've got a whole system of doing this. It does work. It's fantastic, but we got to wrap up. So let's talk about that program. Tell me a little more about it and what our listeners should do.
Yeah. So right now there's a discounted rate on February 27th, 2024. I'm not going to say the number. You guys can figure it out because you might be listening to this in 6 months. The number is going to be $297 a month for just our group mastermind with a lot of courses, step-by-step implementation of some of this, and then also the neighborhood marketing strategies and how we can maximize everything there. We also have three group consulting calls a week. They're the highlight of my week. And then we do trainings each week as well, just to kind of diving in on a specific topic. So that's called the Built Right Contractor. It's in a platform called School, a really cool community platform. And that is kind of my baby. And then it's a lot of do-it-yourself, though. So we will give you the maps. We'll give you the templates. We'll give you all the tools, but you still have to put in the action. And there's no way that I'm able to take
you
away.
You mean I've got to implement something? I got to actually do it?
And there's no way I can take away any of the action, unfortunately. But we do have a one-on-one program, which is a little more hands-on. I describe it as we'll be advisors when you need an advisor, and we'll be wingmen when you need a wingman. And that program is, once again, more one-on-one, and we will do the majority of the one-time work for you as we're getting this set up. So we will design your templates. We will build out and structure your referral program. We'll build internal processes for you. We'll implement what we call our four growth engines through your sales and production process to get more appointments around appointments and builds. And we will help you a little more hands-on, and that's for the company that needs the extra help, has less time, but is able to commit to that. And also that's really wanting to get a little more aggressive. And then we have our group mastermind, which will be plenty for anyone who's able to implement, watch the trainings, show up to the calls, all that.
That's what John's doing. He loves it. He talks about it all the time. And it's a very thorough program. The work with you really lays this out, and I love it. This is an awesome program. Everybody should check it out. How do we get in touch with you, Brad?
You know, you can text me at 832-275-0581. I am often in meetings, so text is the best starting point for a conversation.
Always is.
And spam calls are crazy these days. And also, I'm really active on Facebook. So if you look up Bradley Acres, currently it is a picture of my wife and I holding up a sonogram for our baby who's on the way.
All right. Congrats.
So that is going to be the place where most people interact with me and where I have the most content and back and forth. There's links everywhere to join the Built Right Contractor. But if you do want to go straight to it, download school or look it up on your browser and then just search the Built Right Contractor and you'll be able to find it.
I love it. This is awesome stuff. Everybody's got to really take a look at this because this is the way to do it. Just stop throwing money at your marketing. Give me more leads. No, close the ones that you've got. Spend your time with true buyers. Referrals. Referrals are our best source of business. I love the program, Brad. Hey, thanks so much for coming on, and we will keep in touch. All right. Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. If you want to get more information about our coaching programs or masterminds, go to our website at theroofershow.com. Get all the information there. You can check it out. And I'd love to hear from you. You can go to the contact page, click the big button, set up a time on my calendar, and love to talk to you for half hour, 45 minutes on a free call. All right, we'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.